The door would close, and then you'd hear, "Ooh, ooh,
ah, ah." That was local actor and playwright Nancy Bell, and we'll hear more from her later. This is Cut and Paste. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler.
And this is going to be our year look back. We've chosen a couple different clips that we find funny, that we find interesting, and we're just going to review those for you.
Yeah, kind of like the best of. We've been doing Cut and Paste for almost a year. We began in January of 2015 with high hopes and lots of great folks lined up.
It's true. It's been really fun to use this as a kind of like exploratory investigation of the St. Louis art scene. I've only been here for a year, so it's kind of given me the chance to dive into some deeper conversations with artists that I might not have had the chance to speak with if we weren't doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we find out about other stories that are going on, you know, through some of these conversations. And
sometimes those stories end up being too many to actually name.
Yeah, absolutely. Or they just break off into weird things and we do other stories that aren't cut and paste. But it's certainly, you know, how often do you have that much time, you know, to sit down for half an hour sometimes and just pick at someone's brain and find out what they do, who they are, who they're inspired by. And yeah, from those stories, it just really goes out from there.
Yeah, it really helps us get a sense of not only the individuals that make up the St. Louis art scene, but the ways in which they're kind of interconnected. To that point, what is one of the stories that you thought like you learned the most about somebody?
Musician Thelonious Kryptonite. It was just really great and forthcoming about, you know, his early days, even his high school days. I mean, he looked back on, you know, how he began making music in high school, and he would be at the lunchroom table, and he always had these two handy items with him, and one was a pen, and one was this Carmex chapstick that he was never without.
If you see a girl, you can't have dry lips. It's just, you just don't do it. Not in high school. You gotta be fly. A pen, you gotta write something down. Plus, you in high school, you in school. So I had those two things at the table. I used a pen as like a hi-hat, and the Carmax is like the snare. And this part of my fist that you're hearing, it's got that bass. That puts the bass there, and you can also double up like that. So I used to do it at the same time and created like the pen and Carmax beat making on the table movement. But I was the only one that could do it as good because I created it.
So one of the things that I really love about that clip and about Thelonious' story is that, like, that's really good radio, you know? You have someone who's kind of explaining it and supporting what they're describing with the sound that they're making. I was actually really surprised how when we brought so many different artists into the studio, we'd have these moments that are, like, really solid radio moments. I was really interested in a clip that we had earlier that was done by the playwright and actress Nancy Bell.
Okay. What was that?
So she's been on a couple different soap operas, and here at St. Louis, she works with Shakespeare in the Streets. When we brought her in to talk, she ended up talking a little bit about how she first got going in the industry.
And right, right.
I loved how she was describing, like, an audition. The way in which she used her voice just gripped me while we were sitting here talking to her.
I remember that. Yeah, what was, when was that? How did that happen again?
If I remember right, it was that she had just gotten to New York and was on some of her first auditions and was like with a room full of people that all looked like her. And she was hearing something strange from the actual like rehearsal room. And I think that's where we should cut into the story.
All right.
And I remember sitting outside the door, it was like one of those first weeks, and sitting outside the door, and one by one, people were going in, women who looked a lot like me, like 40 women who looked just like me, walked into the door, you know, walked into this door, the door would close, and then you'd hear, ooh, 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 ooh. And I was sitting out there going, what is it? What do I have to do when I go in? I go in, and the woman is incredibly rude. She's like, come in. There's a chair. Stand on the chair. I'm going to turn on the camera and I'll tell you what to do. So I stand on the chair and she goes, all right, are you ready? Go. Oh my God, you're falling. You're flying. Oh my God, you're flying. It's amazing. All right, thank you.
So I don't remember, Willis, did she get that job?
No. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't a great experience for anyone involved.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. That person probably did not go on to become, oh, I don't know, Marcia Gay Harden, or maybe she was around before then, but someone we know today.
So, you know, that was one of the things that I thought was really engaging. What else were you interested in?
So, Alara Evans is a client of the Turner Art Center, and she is a painter, and she is a person with a developmental disability, an adult, and they just make this, you know, this amazing work, and she's very prolific. We talked to her about her work and the practice of making art. She has some just really great advice that any artist should pay attention to.
It would have to come from, not from your mind. You have to put your heart into it, because if you don't, I don't know how it would turn out. And I think I'm a very talented artist, and I love it, and I will always have, basically always will. You just got to put it out there. Test yourself.
That's so interesting to me to hear that played right now, because one of the clips that I chose to listen to was from the poet Ted Mathis. Basically, Ted is a poet who deals with mathematics and kind of logical constructs to get at some of his memories from childhood and his personal relationships.
Yeah, so he goes through the portal of math to get to the emotional place.
Exactly. And he had this really great bit of information that was also somewhat instructive, where he's talking about dealing with students because he's a professor at St. Louis University.
Right.
And it's kind of his perspective on how you approach your craft.
I say to my poetry students sometimes, it's like, do you want to be a magician or an escape artist? So the magician has like pretty bells and whistles on the surface and lots of literal smoke and mirrors, but behind it there might not be anything, whereas the escape artist, like Houdini, would really have real locks and real straitjackets and really put himself in a real barrel and throw himself into a real river and then try to get out. And getting out has a lot more stakes emotionally and physically than just producing the surface illusion. So I was interested in how constraint could, like, make me reckon with my own demons.
So I may be the only person in the world to notice this or care or think this is extremely fun, but Ted Mathis actually has the word math in his name. It's M-A-T-H-Y-S, I believe.
That's fantastic.
And I just love that he works through math and his name has math.
I mean, how often does that actually happen? And I have to admit that it did not occur to me until you pointed that out.
It'd be like Willis Radio Arnold.
It's true. So one of the things that I was also interested in was, you know, we got at some of the funny moments, we got at some of the like touching moments, some of the instructive moments of all of these different artists and musicians. And I also liked that some of them actually stepped out of their own roles and were kind of critical about the art world. We spoke with Stan Chisholm, who makes music and makes art as 18 and counting.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting about him was that he kind of talked about the way that art itself is a form of entertainment, even if it's painting or even if it's a show.
Right.
And the way in which it can even be dark or, you know, very serious topics, but that's still a form of entertainment.
Yeah, I remember him talking about that. Yeah, what did he say again?
I think his point was along the lines of, even if you find art interesting that has a dark or a deeply political message, you know what? It's probably best that I let him explain it.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Art is entertainment, just period, no matter how serious or no matter how therapeutic it is. You know, if you're coming from the outside, like if you enjoy having heavy things to think about, if you enjoy perplexing things to think about and, you know, kind of stepping outside of what you know and what has already happened, then that's something you're doing for entertainment.
I visit rooftops with bad ideas. Nancy, so I'm curious, you know, we've listened to a couple different perspectives of people in the creative world here in St. Louis and some of the kinds of questions that they themselves have answered. Do you have any questions or thoughts about stuff that we should cover in the future?
I just really like when we have pairs of people on, you know, to interact with each other. It's so fun when we had Sarah Burke here with the playwright that was a winner of the Visionary Awards. Her name is Shuley Cook. You know, they're laughing back and forth. And we had, you know, Leslie Lasky and his partner Frank Schwager about their first ever joint exhibit. Last ever, they said.
That's true. They did say in that moment that it would be their first and their
that's
last.
That's right. So we won't be having him on for their second. But, you know, just... I was just wondering, are there any people that you wish we could have gotten on or that you're looking forward to getting on next year?
You know, there was an article in the Art Basel Miami magazine saying that St. Louis might be one of the new art places to watch in the next year. A lot of St. Louis artists that produced work during the Ferguson protests got national attention. It could be that that's a trend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also crossing over into theater. Just in the past few months, there was a work involving Theater of the Oppressed in New York City and another group from the Northwest. And they all came here and worked with local people here to produce work that, you know, related to social justice and the African-American community, and made an original production that will then be touring all over the United States. But it was based here. People are knowing about St. Louis. You know, we're getting a reputation. St. Louis Actor Studio, every year they have a Neil LaBute New Theater Festival, and Neil LaBute is involved in this. It's not just like the Kevin Kline Awards when he came once and never came back again for the award show. This really does involve Neil LaBute. And you know, just another feather in St. Louis's cap.
We would like to know what interests you, St. Louis. We would like to know what sort of art you have seen around town that you would like explained, what sort of art you would like covered, who you'd like to know more from. If you're interested in letting us know who you'd like to hear as a guest on Cut and Paste, you can reach us at warnold@stlpublicradio.org or
nfowler. So N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, O-W-L-E-R at stlpublicradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. So yeah, 2016, here we come. This has been Cut and Paste.
Cut and Paste is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. It's produced by Nancy Fowler
and Willis Ryder Arnold, with the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The music you've heard throughout this episode was produced by local musician Eric Hall. You can find us at stlpublicradio.org.
Or get Cut and Paste wherever you normally get your podcasts.